All right, Dr. Harmon, we are back for another episode of Medical Dads.
Back for the best episode of any podcast anyone will ever listen to in their entire lives. Today we're talking about lies, by the way, and saying things that aren't true.
I thought we were talking about honesty. I thought the episode was about honesty in children and parenting.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you look at it. The absence of lies. Today we're talking about not telling the truth.
Well, in 2024, what is truth and what is lies? Who really knows anymore? Whoever speaks the loudest and the longest, you know, wins the day. That seems to be the lesson we're dealing with as a society.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on the expression, my truth. You know, you hear this used often, and it's like people do something wrong and someone complains about it. And then you say, I applaud that person for speaking her truth. Which is kind of a way of saying, like, it's not the truth, but it's her truth. My truth is that I didn't do what she said I did, but I applaud her for saying what she thought was true. What does that mean, my truth?
I don't know. Let me give you a little aside before we get into this whole lying business. I think you're gonna find this story funny. Okay. So, a couple days ago, late afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like you know those parent. WhatsApp groups, like, you know, sometimes you're on a class list and there's a whole bunch of moms and dads for grade two, right, on a list, and they're secretly in the back of the class, in the background of the class activities, exchanging messages like, oh, which homework assignment is due? Oh, my kids forgot to bring this form home. Is there a test tomorrow? Right. There's all these like messages going back and forth. Generally, I try not to get too involved in these class parent mailing lists because they can get a little bit funny.
I'm not part of one of these, but I could totally imagine what you're talking about.
Oh, they exist now. This is not a thing that existed when we were children.
No.
So our parents got off easy. But unfortunately, it exists today. And for a while, I wasn't on the list. But then my wife is like, you probably should be on the list because you never know. Like, there is sometimes some useful information exchange. Like, sometimes parents want to know, like, oh, field trip, lost the form. Like, where's the site of something? And then you can send them the information.
Oh, gosh, this thing drives me crazy. This thing drives me crazy with my own residents. Not to disparage our residents in any way because they're great. But somebody will – we've sent out information where there's a policy on something. And – a person doesn't remember the policy, and rather than track down the source and actually find the policy or email the program directly or email the admin directly or email the supervisor directly, they go to their friends on WhatsApp and they say, hey, yeah, for this rotation, like on the first day, do I need to show up for orientation or is that something you can skip if you've done a rotation like this before? And then, yeah, the first day somebody's phoning the resident and say, hey, you were supposed to be here. We expected you. And they're like, oh, well, I was under the understanding that I didn't have to go. It's like, why did you think that? Well, that's what somebody else who did the rotation last year said. You're like, this is not how we're supposed to get that information.
Exactly. These unofficial channels, right? Yeah. They can sometimes be more of a burden than a help. Anyways, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm on the channel. I'm not on the job, but my phone gets dinged and someone sent a message saying like, is so-and-so's parent on this mailing list? I'd like to speak with them. And I'm like, that's my son's name. I'm like, why is someone else's mother requesting to speak to us about my son? And immediately as a parent, my first thought is, what did he do now? Right? What did he do this time?
Absolutely.
Right? And my son has been on a bit of a roll recently insofar as we've been getting phone calls from the office almost on a biweekly basis because of something. And it's never anything bad, but he's always getting into some weird injury, right? One day, okay.
Yeah, I thought when you said it's never anything bad, I'm like, you mean they're calling with praise twice a week?
Well, I think I told you this story. I don't know if I told it on the air when he went to the office to report that his ear was hurting. Right?
No, we didn't hear this story on here.
Okay, so now we're going to digress from the digression. He goes to the office. One day, at breakfast, before school, he tells me, my ear hurts. I'm like, okay. And then I was like, okay, get your stuff packed. Let's go to school, right? And I knew it was probably from swimming. We had just gone swimming the night before. He mentioned it that one time. You know, I'm not going to overreact about that. I got things to do, right? So schlep in the school. And then I drive. It takes me a while to drive from the school back to like my office. I get into my office. I'm just getting my coat off, and the school calls. They're like, "Your son is in the office. He says that his ear hurts." I'm like, "Okay." what you want me to do about it? I'm like, I guess you put him on the phone, right? So the lady in the office is very nice. She's like, would you like to speak to your dad on the phone? And then he says, no. She's like, he doesn't want to speak to you. I'm like, well, if he doesn't want to speak to me, why are you calling me? Like,
maybe you should have asked him before you made the phone call.
I thought the whole point of the phone call was to facilitate some sort of communication, right? And then, like, I know my son, right? When he's under pressure from adults, he'll get this, like, really guilty look on his face.
Yeah.
He won't really, he'll clam up. He won't be able to speak. He might start blinking rapidly. So the lady in the office is like, he doesn't want to speak to you. He's actually very emotional right now. I'm like, he is the opposite of emotional. He never really shows emotion. That's the extent of it. And then, finally, I get him on the phone. I'm like, what do you want to do? Your ear hurts? I'm going to give you two options. Either I pick you up, bring you to the office, you can sit here with me, or you continue at school, right? Because I already knew he didn't have a fever. That was one of the questions I asked. So he thinks about the two options. He's like, you decide. I'm like, I decide. All right. So then I send him back to school. And then the thing resolved over a few days. Right. But there's been that incident. There's been another time where he got like a scratch on his side, I think, that he needed a Band-Aid, so he ended up in the office. There's been a bunch of these examples. He's been in and out of the office to the point that my wife was making this joke that, like, he's always in there. Right. We never hear about his sister going to the office. This guy's on a first name basis with the ladies in the office.
He's right? He's accident prone. Or he enjoys the experience of going to the office, so he goes there any opportunity he has.
So anyways, this time is not through the office. It's that this mom is asking to speak to us. So then I'm in like this little miniature, like, you know, anxiety attack. I'm like, right. What does this mean? What did he do? I don't recognize this mom. And then and I'm not the only one who's overreacting to this, because within a few minutes, another parent that I'm actually friends with on the mailing list private messages me. He's like, I hope you guys aren't in trouble with so-and-so's mom. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, this message is so strange.
I hope, right? You're not in trouble with this person's mom. But if you are, I really want to hear about it. And I don't think I'm going to find that out on the group chat. So tell me what's happening.
So then that day my car was in the shop. So my wife had to pick me up from the office. So she picks me up. I'm like, we're going to go pick up my car. On the way, I'm telling her about what happened. She's like, oh no, what did he do? And then so the two of us are just like simmering about this. And then at that point, I already messaged the parent back. I'm like, oh, I'm his dad. You know, you can send me a private message. What's going on? But there was no reply. So we're just sitting here waiting, watching the WhatsApp thing. There's no reply. There's no activity, waiting for the other shoe to drop. So my wife and I are having this conversation. I'm like, what do you think are the chances that it's a positive thing versus a negative, right?
Invite to a birthday party or something.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you think? Like, 80-20 negative to positive? And she's like, no, it's 100-0. That's exactly what I was saying. 100 is, she's like, there's no chance. I'm like, yeah, what if they wanted to send out a private birthday invitation?
Yeah.
And my wife's like, no, we just got a copy of the class mailing list. Valentine's Day is coming up. They want to locate us. The mailing list of all the names is already there. There's absolutely no reason that this lady would want to talk to us except for something bad.
Or maybe, right? maybe your son, like, told people at school what his parents do for a living, and now this woman wants like a scope.
So finally we get home and my wife's like, I'm just gonna call her. I'm like, okay, that's not a bad idea, because I already messaged her. It would be bad if I messaged and then called and kept pestering this person for an explanation. But my wife could call her and then like figure out what's going on. So my wife calls, and lo and behold, what happened was that this lady's daughter reported back to her that they saw my son at church. And she didn't know that any of her classmates were at church, so they wanted to connect with us. So
it was a bad thing.
It was a 20% day, man. We got into good book, or a 0% day, depending on your odds of it. Something completely fantastical out of this realm of possibility happened, right?
That's awesome.
And the world was a slightly better place than it was earlier in the day because of this. So there you go. We moved the needle.
It's like that night your son, he gets a present and he has ice cream for dinner and there's a cake and he's like, what did I do to deserve this? Nothing. He did nothing. That's why you deserve this.
The funny thing is we picked him up. So before we called the lady, we picked him up and there was this period where we were like, what did you do? What happened at school today? Did anything out of the ordinary happen at school today? He's like, I think I saw someone getting bullied in the playground. Who was it? I don't remember. And we were having this train of thought, and my daughter, she was really into this, right? She's like, what did he do, right? At the end, when she heard the result, she's like, all that for this? That's not even a story.
That's an awesome story is what that is.
So there you go. Parenting in the 21st century, all sorts of hijinks aided by technology.
It does just highlight that general idea that technology and the instant access to information and this type of thing now does increase our stress.
It does.
When you think about it, like, had this been good news or bad news, either way, there was a time when the only thing that person could do is like track you down and get your phone number and call you.
Yeah, yeah. Or, right? You know, wait for you outside the church next week and see if they
right.
can catch you. Kind
That's
of thing.
Right. That's right. But now people have this ability to give you this news at a time when you can't do anything about it anyway, and create this stress.
Exactly. But you know what? All's well that ends well, right?
That's right.
Everything was good. We didn't detect any lying from our kid. And we were able to move on with our life.
Now your son has to attend a special after-school church group 3 times a week.
So, anyways, that was my story. And it kind of takes us into this discussion that we wanted to have today about honesty in children. Or if you flip it around, lying with our parents.
That's right. Should we start with the fundamental question, or well, the first question, which is, are kids naturally honest to start with, right? Are they starting with a template of honesty, and then something is happening, or we're corrupting them, or we're doing something wrong when our kids stop being honest?
Now, I think there's actually an actual official answer to this. This isn't one of those questions where the medical dads just make up some fluff on the spot, right?
We never do that. So like all of our questions, this one also is not one of those ones.
Well, we leave it to our audience to figure out which ones are fluff and which aren't. We don't have to direct them in such a rigid manner, but there is an actual answer to this. Lying at certain ages is a normal developmental behavior, right? That children go through. So that's the full answer, right? At some stages, it is a normal thing. So your kids need to experience lying and figure out what the consequences of lying. They're testing things out. I don't actually remember the exact age at when this begins, but I believe it's somewhere in the 1 to 3 age group.
Yeah. I guess it depends on how you define lying from a certain point of view.
True.
In a way, they almost default to lying right out of the gate. Once they can speak, because one of the first words they learn will be no, or sometimes they learn yes first, and then they learn no later. Mm-hmm. And whatever question you ask them, they just say yes, even if the answer is not yes, or they say no sometimes, and the answer is not no.
I remember at a very, very young age, actually, I can probably pin it down almost exactly, because my son had just been born. So within the first 6 months of his life, my daughter's around 3 at that time. A little thing had gotten knocked over on my son's bookcase, right?
Yeah.
But since he wasn't actually mobile, right? We were always holding him at that age.
Yeah.
When we asked who did it, my daughter immediately blamed him, right? She immediately scapegoated this little infant for having done this thing that was actually physically impossible for the infant to do, right? And of course, that led to like a huge lecture about lying and the consequences of lying. But that, you know, kids, I think parents, mostly parents who have experienced this period of time with children, especially if they have more than one child, they will all remember stories like this where someone else has taken the fall for something, right?
Yeah.
And the parents, the only advantage we have as parents is, you know, when you look at your children, our children are younger than us. They're cuter than us. You know, they have every advantage going for them. The only advantage we have as parents is that we have the wisdom to be able to see through these lies for a brief period of time until the kids overtake us. We have a period of time where we look at these little tall tales that they spin, and we're like, those are terrible lies, right? I can see through that lie a mile away. So for a few years as parents, we have that advantage. That is almost the only advantage we have in parenting, because they have us beat on stamina, fitness, like everything else.
I often will tell people one of the reasons that I enjoy pediatrics as a specialty as opposed to just doing general medicine or adult medicine is that children lie absolutely all the time. When I'm talking to kids, they lie. But they when they lie, it usually makes sense. There's usually a reason for them to lie, and you can usually see why. It's when you get to adults that people do all this nonsensical lying for no reason, lying when they know they shouldn't be lying, lying, and you're like, why are you even telling these lies? Kids are so much easier to read in their lies. In a way, there's a certain philosophy that says you can't say you can't consider something a lie if the question that you're asking had no reasonable expectation of the truth. So if you already know that the answer you're going to get, like if I put a gun to your head and say, you know, tell me the sky is pink or I'll blow your brains out. If the person says pink, some philosophers say, well, that's not a lie because there's no expectation that you could have had that they would say anything other than this thing that's not a fact. From that point of view, kids almost don't lie in so many situations because you'd expect from the perspective and mind of that child that the lie would be the only answer that would make sense.
See, my problem with it's, this is a slight aside, but my problem with it is that adults are complicated in this way. When a child is lying, especially when they're early on, like testing out what's the truth and what's not true, it's like you said, they usually have a reason for it. And if they are lying, it's pretty obvious to us that they're lying. Like there's a bunch of tells, right? Their eyes start shifting around. They're like there's a bunch of things that you can pick up that's making them uncomfortable. The problem with adults is that adults over time develop this ability to separate how they're how they look from what they're actually saying, right? So they don't show their emotions anymore. So what I find for adults a lot of time is we can become really, really poker-faced, right? You can never really tell what someone means when they're saying something. And my problem with this is that when we watch television, you know, like actors in movies?
Yeah.
Actors in movies and TV shows are always projecting exactly how they feel into their face, right? So like when you see a character whose like mind is churning or there's some secret evil thought going through their head, they're projecting it through their eyeballs so that if you look hard enough, you can actually see it. But in real life, these things are completely buried, right? In real life, people never show what they actually feel, right? Which is why I think that all actors on television shows and movies are not acting like real people at all. Right. Anyway,
surprise to those out there that movies and television does not represent real life. But that's why Dave and I love television so much. Growing up on it is television portrays what real life should be. Cosby can attest to that for us.
So
kids lying. Going back to that kind of first part of the, like why are kids lying? If your kid's lying, is it because there's something wrong or there's something, you know, do you need to be worried about your kid? Well, we talked about some of the reasons already, you know. One of the, that one of those earliest ones is just that kids will often be speaking, not really understanding what's being asked of them. Or they'll speak before they think sometimes. That's why kids things like ADHD are often thought of as being particularly dishonest or get in trouble for that. But it's just like they impulsively say the first thing that comes to their mind sometimes as opposed to giving you a proper answer.
Okay, so I feel like we should redefine lying because I think in what we really want to get at is specifically willfully altering the truth.
Okay, purposeful deception.
Yeah, purposeful. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what we should actually be talking about because there are these examples where my son, you know, I tell him, you know what, he wants his bedroom door open at night. I'm like, okay, I'll come open it in a bit, but right now there's too much noise downstairs, so it's got to be closed for now. And then I'll forget. So then the next morning he'll be like, you lied. You said you were going to open the door and you didn't open. You liar. You lie. He's always blaming me for this type of thing, right? And I'm like, I don't even want to get into this linguistics argument with him that's not a lie. That's just me promising to do something and then I didn't get around to doing it. I wasn't lying. At the time I said it, I meant it, right?
You can tell, you know.
To a child, you lied.
Uncle Stuart says that there's a certain line of philosophy that that's not a lie unless you had a reasonable expectation of the truth, son. Well, so yeah, okay. Focusing then more on lying as deception. You know, at a certain age, and I guess, when we're saying what age does this start, it's probably around age, like two or so, when their language is starting to become more sophisticated, that you're starting to see this. You know, earlier than that, most of what they say is just telling you the truth, even whether you don't care or need to know about that. They're just telling you things, you know.
Right.
That bird is big. There's big bird. There's a bird. Yeah. Okay. I get it. That's the truth. But part of it at a certain stage is that they're just like testing out like a new behavior. They're just testing out a new thing. You know, before there's a certain stage where it doesn't occur to them that they can say something that's not true. Like it, because nobody, like, as far as their understanding, nobody's doing that, right?
I'm not speeding. I'm just driving the car fast because I'm testing out if the car is able to go fast. I'm curious as to what a fast car is like.
That's right. That's right. Actually, that probably is the reason that some young people first start speeding, because they do want to know, what does it feel like when the car is going that fast? But yeah, so, you know, kids will have a sort of thing of, well, my parent asked me this question, and if I say yes, I did, or if I say no, I didn't clean my room, then I know that then the consequence is I can't watch this TV show. But what happens if I say yes? Do I get to watch the TV show?
And, right.
You know, I think that's a lot of where that first step in addressing lying as a parent comes in, is helping them to understand that it might seem like there's a consequence to telling the truth, and it might seem like there is a good consequence or a good action that happens after you say something that is not true. And so part of it is, when we are realizing that they're telling us lies, is pointing out to them that no, that's not going to lead to a good outcome. Not that you punish them every time they tell a lie, but that you're trying to get them to understand and explain to them, you know.
I mean, I agree completely. I think as parents, we need to understand that this is a normal behavior for children, and within limits, there's nothing wrong with them lying, but it's more about how we respond to that as parents that's important. Because we could respond to these normal developmental things in a way that's excessive and overly dramatic and actually makes things worse, right? We could respond in a way that's giving the child the mixed message that actually maybe lying is fine, right? Or maybe they just need to lie better, right? Lie smarter, so you get through the police questioning unscathed, right? And sometimes we end up teaching our kids those lessons inadvertently. So I think it's more on us at that stage. You know, when you're encountering a child that's lying at an early age and they're just testing things out. But in the later part, as they get a little bit older and they start lying because they actually did something bad that they don't want you to know about, right? And you find out about it, that starts to become a bit of a different issue.
Yeah, well, I think every time you're faced with your kid lying, it is helpful if you can try to understand why would they be lying in this situation. So the obvious one is the same situation that adults are often. I'm lying because I'm trying to get out of trouble, right? Often that's, you know, when the police pull somebody over and there's saying like, oh, my speedometer was broken, officer. I didn't know I was going that fast. Yeah, that's the same thing as a child. They're lying to try to get out of trouble. Or it's obvious when they're lying because they wanted to get something. But, you know, other reasons why kids lie that sometimes people don't realize, you know, sometimes it's because they want to get approval or because, you know, for their own self-esteem. You know, kids love praise. Everybody loves praise for the most part, right? And sometimes kids will start saying things that aren't true because, you know, they get praise for it. The other thing that sometimes kids are doing is they're lying because it gives them some form of attention, or sometimes it's the other way around. It gets them, you know, like it gets the focus of attention off of them. But, you know, sometimes you'll have kids and they just confabulate these stories. They're just telling stories that that aren't true. Every child at school has some friend who, when they're telling you about what that child says, you're like, no, that child doesn't know Michael Jordan. You know, that Michael Jordan does not come for sleepovers at his house. And no, Michael Jordan will not be at his birthday party.
Wait. You mean to tell me that one of my son's good buddies did not get a second Nintendo Switch in his house for 1 cent? Because that's the story that I've been hearing recently.
Hey, like those stories come and you say, well, why would a kid do that? Why is, or if your kid's doing that, why is my kid always confabulating? Is what we call it in medicine, these made up stories. But generally it's because the reaction that they get when they tell these stories, people are interested in them. People think it's cool, and it gives them, attention, and it can boost their self-esteem. And then at the same time, if you have kids who, as they get older still, they are lying because they're trying to get attention off themselves, and sometimes that's where you need to explore a little bit as a parent. So, for example, a kid who's getting picked on at school, who's feeling sad, you might notice your kid's feeling down, and when you ask them about it, they're telling you, no, everything's fine when it's not fine. That's the thing that kids can do sometimes when they feel like the pressure's on, and they're anxious in the moment. And it sounds a bit like what you're describing with your son when he clams up when adults are talking to him, or he sort of makes out that, like, well, there's nothing, there's no issue.
Right.
Like a
Now,
kid, yeah.
I don't often do this on the medical dads. I don't think I've ever actually done this, but I do think in this particular episode where we're talking about lying and, when is it developmentally normal or not, I do think that the Bible gives us a very clear instruction in the Ten Commandments that thou shall not lie. Right? And this
So
is.
is that in the Ten Commandments? Is there a commandment that says, thou shalt not lie? I challenge you to Google that right now and see if those words are actually written in
It's
the
not
Bible.
exactly those words, but I believe it is written. Let me see.
I believe that it is something along the lines of, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy
Yeah,
neighbor.
exactly.
That's very different than simply saying, thou shalt not lie. And if you look at the origins of that, of what they're talking about that, we've redacted that down to simply, oh, well, Moses must have had a lot of difficulty in his time of people just telling lies. But I no, I think that bear false witness against thy neighbor was not a common expression interchanged with the word lying back then. I think that was an actual thing of more like in
I
court
didn't.
or.
I didn't know you had done such a deep reading of this Bible passage. I'm impressed.
Every once in a while, I'll pull out one of these little things.
So what is it actually telling us exactly then? It's true. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness,
And I
right?
think
Which
the full
means.
version of that, false witness against thy neighbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it means that when you tell a lie about somebody else, about something someone else did,
That's right.
right?
Basically, it's like, I will not make false accusations against another person is, is
So you're
potentially the
telling
original
me
meaning.
there are all sorts of other lies in the world that don't fit that category, which are implicitly allowed by the Bible as a result.
Well, I mean, it depends on if we're reducing things to specifically the Ten Commandments or if we're, looking at other aspects of the Bible. Ten Commandments is very Old Testament, right? But yeah, if you wanted to live like in lawyer times, in ancient lawyer times, where you say, hey, it's not on that list of 10 things. I don't see a commandment specifically saying self-pleasure in public. It's not on the list. It's not on the list, Moses.
Actually, if you want to do a deep reading of the Bible, there are a lot of very specific requirements about sex and what's allowed and what's not allowed in other parts of the Old Testament, and specifically in Leviticus, I think. But anyways, that's a whole other discussion.
I can't remember now if the Ten Commandments were meant to be a sort of summary of, okay, there's a lot of rules, but you can boil it down to these 10, or if that was just 10 new rules. I'm more of a New Testament guy for the most part, so I like the simplicity of the Jesus message, where I think he was asked what is the most important of the commandments or something along those lines, and he essentially boiled it down to this whole thing of, love thy neighbor and do unto thy neighbor what you would want them to do to you.
Indeed. I'm impressed with your biblical understanding, but you have distracted me from the point I was trying to make, which was to say that that basic premise, thou shall not lie, in its translated form, I think holds true like 98% of the time, right? Like a very basic way to get through life is just not to lie, right? And as human beings, there's always this urge for us to go the other way. We can always try to imagine these little hypothetical situations where it might be a little better off to tell a little lie and get by. We pay a little bit less taxes, if we make a little lie here and there. But by and large, I feel like 98% of the time, telling it straight like it is and dealing with the consequences is a better way, period.
I mean, it always seems like powerful people are getting ahead with lies, mm-hmm. based on lies. I mean, politicians, don't even get me started. So it can be hard for people to really sort of see, well, what's truly though, what's the value of being honest? Yeah.
In this day and age, especially, yeah. I don't think, you know, the politicians thing, I mean, people have been making politicians or liars jokes throughout all eternity, I'm sure, since politicians started, you know, stumping for support. But it has never been as ridiculous as it is right now, right? At least not in North America.
Yeah. And is it the fault of the people? You know, politicians do what they do to get elected. So is it that we, the people, have taught them that, well, yeah, the way to get votes to stay in power is through lies because that's what works? Do people value honesty? Would people, if they actually got the truth from their politicians, I think
what's actually happened, and it's a shame, is that, you know, on the one side we have the Bible giving us this, you know, simple message, you know, don't lie, be a good person.
Simple message: do not bear false witness against thy neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you figure out what that means, the message is simple.
On the other side of the paradigm of like human philosophy, there's the whole Obi-Wan Kenobi thing from Return of the Jedi. When Luke asks Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, how come you didn't tell me that Anakin Skywalker was my father? Obi-Wan says, well, it was the truth from a certain point of view, right? So now we have this whole business that truth is all relative and that some things can be true from a certain point of view, yeah. Right? Donald Trump didn't lose the election from his point of view. It is true that Donald Trump did not think that he lost the election. Right,
Obi-Wan Kenobi is telling Luke Skywalker, "Look, Luke, this is my truth."
Yeah, so I mean, that has been kind of how, in the postmodern, you know, philosophy, that's how we've kind of accepted it now, right? And it's made everything infinitely more complicated.
Yeah, so you could see how people could get lost in that, but it doesn't have to be that complicated in a way. There is clear value in people knowing that you're trustworthy. If people know that when you speak, you always endeavor to speak the truth,
right.
that will make a huge difference to your life. Even a politician who people feel like this person always endeavors to speak the truth, that person can shoot ahead. I mean, no one actually has on a national level in the last, I don't know, 20 years. But yes, you will get ahead in your personal life, in your interactions with people, and for most cases in your professional life, certainly in our profession as physicians, if you are always endeavoring to actually speak the truth and to shoot straight.
Yeah, generally speaking, I stand by that too, right? So, which is why I think the medical dads, that should probably be in our mission statement, right? One of our things is truth, authenticity. That is a thing that the world doesn't have enough of in this day and age. And I think that's something as parents that we should be impressing upon our children. One of the lessons I want my kids to absorb is that sometimes in life you get thrown this moment. You have this decision to make. You could go one way or the other, right? It's truth or not truth. It is almost always better to tell the truth when presented with that decision. There are those rare examples, you know, someone's pointing a gun to your head or something, which is something that is not even count in this scenario. But by and large, if you're asking yourself, should I tell the truth or not? The answer should be, you should just tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Children are not learning to lie from their parents per se, any more so than children learn on their own in the normal exploration of their body that they can pick up something and throw it. You don't have to teach them that. They don't have to see you do that. They'll figure that out eventually, that if they pick something up, wave their arm and let go, that thing will travel. But what they learn is if it's appropriate to throw something or not, or perhaps they learn when it's appropriate to throw something or not. And that's the same thing with lying. It's not that they learn the ability to lie. It's not that they're born without it and we corrupt them, or that they're not supposed to have it and there's something wrong with their child when you realize they do have it. But we are supposed to teach them that they shouldn't lie, or if there's a time when it is appropriate to say things that are not true versus a time when it's not. Which I guess brings us to the other point, worth talking about is if we're saying that kids are learning bad lying behaviors from their parents, what are we doing? Why is that happening? We think we're good, honest men. So what are we doing wrong? Because I feel like if we analyze ourselves, we'll see we must be making mistakes here.
You think that they're learning the lying from us, from observing our regular behavior?
No, what I mean is that that ability to tell a lie, that's already there. Just like all the other things you can do are already there. What they're learning from us is, okay, I'm learning it's okay to lie. I would have figured out how to lie if I didn't see my dad cheat on his taxes. But it's seeing my parents lie is when I think, oh, but then it is okay. And it's like so many other parts of parenting, right? We can tell them, no, you must tell the truth. It's wrong to lie, or it's problematic to lie. But it doesn't mean anything if when they observe us, what they see is, oh, well, yeah, my dad says that you shouldn't lie, but I see him lying. So I guess that was a lie. And what I'm observing is that, you can lie sometimes.
All right, I see what you're getting at. So you're saying if we give parents some tips on what they can do to teach children that lying is not good because we're not teaching them properly right now, is what you're saying.
That and maybe a little analysis of where are the ways that we are showing them, where are the ways that we're lying? And okay. We don't even realize that, oh yeah, that's a lie that our kids are observing, that what they're watching.
I don't know. Clearly you're getting at something. I want you to give me the first example because I actually don't necessarily see where you're pulling this from. I feel like the lesson probably is that parents out there, if you are lying on a regular basis, do it in a way that's very discreet, that your children don't notice. That seems to be what you're getting at. But I can't really imagine which heinous examples are you pointing at. Like parents out there who are having affairs, you know, just make sure your kids don't find out about it, because if they do, then they're going to know you're a liar.
I mean, I guess I could think of so many things. This one probably doesn't resonate with you that much, but and I'm not anti doing this, but the whole thing with Santa Claus, for example, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, all these things. Is there a concern that if we go overboard with that, or if we do that in the wrong way, that kids can learn that, oh, okay, no, it's okay to lie? Or if kids start to learn, there's no point in asking my parents about the truth behind Santa Claus and Easter Bunny when I start to have those questions come into mind, because they're not going to tell me the truth. So that's just an example. That wasn't necessarily the penultimate one. But that was a type of thing potentially worth discussing. But other things I'm thinking about are the more, I think, sinister things. Like your kids see you when you're with friends, or your kids see you when you're with relatives. And they can see if you're telling relatives one thing, but that the kids know, no, that's not true. And all the little things that people do for the same reasons kids do, the lies they tell to build themselves up, the lies they tell for self-esteem, the lies that people tell when they're telling a story, and the story is way better than the actual reality of what happened.
Right.
If your kids are observing that, then they may very much think like,
so this is what gets back into the medical dad's creed, that you need to be an authentic individual as much as you can at all times, right? And if you are, then your children will pick up on that. If you yourself are having issues with this, of course your children are going to pick up on that, right? And they gradually adopt a lot of those behaviors as their own. That's just the way it is. They're learning by example. So yeah, I can see what you're saying here.
Maybe it begins with being honest with ourselves. Because I guess that's the problem with children. They're like these little recorders that are around you all the time. And so even the things we trick ourselves about, our kids know if they're true or not. You could be with friends and someone could simply say, I see you have an exercise bike in your basement. You use that thing much? And people's reaction is like, well, I do remember one week where I used it three times. And so what comes out of somebody's mouth is like, yeah, you know, I probably use it about two, three times a week.
Up to three times a week, yeah.
But then your kid may speak right out and say, no, you don't use it that much. And that is that thing. Oh, yeah, okay, right. Yes, this observer reminds me that I did use it three times once in a week. I don't use it three times a week. Now, so that's that, being honest with ourselves, maybe step one.
Now, there's this corollary, because we're talking today about lies and, you know, willful deception, right? But these two things are not exactly always the same, because lying is the action of me telling something that's not true. And that is a way I can willfully deceive somebody. Mm-hmm. But there's another way I can willfully deceive someone, which is the absence of telling the truth, right?
Okay.
Which is the don't ask, don't tell. If no one asks me specifically, you know, something, am I obliged to share everything with people? Even if, you know, like I think this person's, you know, outfit looks really ugly. You know, it is making me want to vomit on the inside. But they didn't specifically ask me what they think of the outfit. So I don't have to say anything about it. I'm not lying, right? But there is an element of deception to what I'm doing in that situation. Correct?
I don't know if the outfit is the best example.
It's not, because it's a benign thing. There are examples where, you know something happened to somebody.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And nobody is asking you what you saw.
Yeah.
Right? So you now have a choice. You're not actually lying necessarily. You're just keeping this information to yourself. Right?
Yeah. Because the thing with the outfit is that the absence of me telling you your outfit is bad cannot be assumed that the default state is I actually like your outfit and think it is good. You know, if you're not getting positive comments on your outfit, then yeah, then you can assume that the outfit is not necessarily beloved by the person.
I have never heard positive comments on any outfit I've ever worn, to be honest.
Oh, I've heard plenty of compliments on the outfits I've worn that my wife bought me. I've received many compliments from her about outfits that she's bought me.
That's a different topic. That's called self-promotion.
But yeah, but those situations where you know somebody thinks something and you don't correct them to the truth, you say nothing, right? Mm. So for example, somebody is saying like, wow, you clean the kitchen. That's so nice. And you know, well, actually, no, I got home after the house cleaner. She cleaned the kitchen, but you don't say anything. Or you clean the kitchen, that's so nice. It's like, oh, actually one of the kids cleaned it, but they're not here and you think I did it, so I'm not going to correct you. That's that's that lie of omission, you know. But so certainly what we're talking about, it's not really a semantics split hairs type of thing. Is that thing of
the lie of omission thing. If a housekeeper cleaned the house, right, and the house is very clean, and your wife comes home and is like, wow, Stu, you did such a good job cleaning the house. Kudos to you. And then you don't say anything.
Yeah.
In a way, that is a lie of omission, because you didn't say anything back and say, no, I didn't clean it.
Disagree. Yes. That's exactly what I was getting at, that example.
But.
Okay. But.
If you alter that scenario slightly.
Okay.
Housekeeper cleaned the house. Your wife comes home. And she looks around, she's like, oh, the house is clean. But she doesn't say anything to you about it, right? And then the rest of the night, she's extra nice to you, and you're kind of oblivious to it, right?
Yeah.
But deep down, part of you is like, I should just point out that the lady came in, that I paid for the housekeeper today. Or maybe part of you is like, you know, I don't need to point that out, right? Like,
the whole reason I hired a secret housekeeper was so that she could clean and my wife wouldn't know.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether you say something or not, right, is because she hasn't even addressed it with you. Is that still a lie of omission in that scenario?
If you know that she has reason, if you know that she believes you've cleaned the house, or if you know that, her behavior is giving you the impression that she thinks you cleaned the house, and and you allow that illusion to continue, then, that's the same thing.
I see. All right.
Basically, what you could look at it in terms of the pragmatic, right? In terms of part of why we're giving this advice, because we're giving people advice for their benefit, right? Not because of the moralistic thing of whether we think it's right or wrong to lie, where now you can get into all these gradations of, well, is it wrong to do it in this circumstance or this circumstance? We're the pragmatic medical dads. We're trying to give dads and listeners advice they can use for their own benefit. You will benefit from having the reputation. You will benefit from people around you knowing that you're the type of person that I know that if Stuart thought that I was under the impression that the house cleaner cleaned the house and was giving him false credit, I know he'd say something. I know he'd speak up, right? That's what you want. That's what you're going for. So, you could make the scenario as subtle as possible, where you're like, you know, my wife treated me a little extra nice, but I don't know exactly why. But part of me is thinking maybe it's because she thinks I clean the house. It still falls down to the same thing. You want your wife to know that you're the type of person that if you even thought there's a remote possibility that you're getting credit for something you don't deserve, that you would, that you'd say something about it.
I like that. I think that is ultimately what we're getting at in this episode, right? Is that by and large, all the time, be authentic and truthful as much as you can. And you will have, you'll be happier. You'll sleep better. You will have better relationships. You will be a better parent. You'll be a better child. You know, that's basically what we're telling everyone.
Pretty much. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Except, I have a question for you. I agree with you about all this. But what happens, what do we say? What do you say to Donald Trump in 2024 as he's embarking on a presidential campaign? What is the medical dad's take on all this political hubbub that's going on out there?
Talk to Donald Trump, I say to him, I really dig your hairstyle, and I think your skin tone is marvelous. Also, I want to remind you of a certain philosophy that it's not a lie if you have no expectation of the truth in this scenario.
Well said. I do feel like he in particular, but all the other minion politicians that are following him around, are teaching our children and our society a horrible message, right? I don't even care about the politics of it anymore, right? It's just this idea that you can say whatever it is you want and you can find newspapers to print whatever it is you want to print and talking heads on TV to repeat what you've said a million times and even louder. This whole chain reaction of stuff is just nuts, right?
Well, yeah. And there are, oddly enough, there are going to be people, maybe many people, who are going to say, what are you talking about? Compared to other politicians, Trump is honest. There are going to be people say, Trump said, I could go out in the middle of the street and I could shoot somebody and I'd still get elected. He said that. And everybody is like, a politician shouldn't say that. But Trump believes it to be true. And turns out it probably was true. And he said it. And people would say, no, politicians, my expectation from politicians actually is they don't say stuff like that, even though they think it. We've actually created a scenario where we expect politicians to lie. I mean, when Trump says, yeah, I did say you could grab a woman by her vagina or by her vulva, not in such polite terminology. He said that. And when it came out, he was like, yeah, I said it. So what? Locker room talk. Whereas our expectation for politicians is, yeah, we still think they think stuff like that, but we expect them to have a decorum where they don't admit it or say it out loud. It's weird, right? That's in a way.
It is weird.
Yeah. The guy does speak the truth when he feels like it suits him. And part of what we don't like about the guy is that he says these truths. And like people would say, well, you want him to lie? Is that, you'd be happier with a same corrupt morality, but he just lies about it and covers it up like other politicians. Weird. It's weird. It sounds like I'm defending Trump here, but trying to be objective.
Well, it is a very strange day and age that we live in, or at least it feels that way. Sometimes I feel like it's weird, but then if you really parse through, probably these things have been going on for centuries, you know, since the Romans and the Greeks. I'm sure it's not really that different. We're just always finding new ways to, like, you know, feel like everything's sensationalized and this is the worst it's ever been, but probably it's no different. These are just human beings who grew up with parents that were liars and this is what happened.
Well, you know, that whole thought on society constantly crumbling, it goes right back to the way the Greeks incorporated this concept into their mythology, is that the first race of humans were like the golden age of humans. They were, I think, golden people. But they lacked the ability to reproduce, and then they died off, and then they were replaced with like a slightly less a perfect version of people, and then it kind of get to the modern people. And there's lots of writings from that time period of philosophers saying, you know, this generation is worse than our generation. It's just getting worse and worse. So on the one hand, people do sometimes point to that and say, oh, you know, it's just the thing. We always think everything's getting worse, and that's been true since the beginning of time. However, something I'm realizing lately is that, yeah, but civilizations actually do rise and fall. There actually clearly were times when things got worse and worse for a civilization until they were in a dark age, and then things rise again. So we actually might be in that time now that, yeah, no, it actually is true. Maybe our generation isn't as good as some of the previous ones, and maybe the generation coming up has some of these flaws that we are worried about that might actually lead to sort of a collapse of society as we know it. But don't worry, because eventually there will be ebb and flows and things will get better again. But it may not be in several lifetimes from now.
I don't know what the listeners think, but I am duly impressed by Professor Stuart Harmon's deep understanding of the philosophies of the antiquities in this episode, right? Like, he has gone deep into the Bible and into the classics. Is there something that this man does not know in the world? I really do not. I am very impressed.
The depths I have to go to find justification for my lies.
Well, on that note, we hope that everyone learned something in this episode. If you were thinking about telling that little lie tonight to your family, don't do it, man. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
That's right. All right. See you in a week, folks. And if you're familiar with our editing schedule, you can judge for yourself whether that's the truth or a lie.
See you in a week.
All right.